If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 3, where we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. In the church Bible, it's on page 1202. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Again, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 3, where we will be looking at verses 1 through 6 tonight. In the church Bible is on page 1202. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and we can ensure that someone will bring you one, or just borrow the one next to you. Either way. Have to confess that when Joe and I and Noah first moved overseas some 10 years ago, we moved to the country of Armenia. The only English channel that we got on our TV was CNN. And we were used to being able to understand English, but this particular broadcast was CNN UK. And we actually could not understand anything that was said unless we were physically in the room looking at the TV, reading the lips, staring at the face of the news broadcaster. As a matter of fact, there were several times that Joy and I would look at each other and say, "What did they just say?" So that being said, I do understand and acknowledge that I am speaking English, though it is not your English. So if I say any word that is inappropriate, which there are some words that we can say in our American English that you don't say and vice versa, please excuse that. I think after being here a year, we have understood that what those words are. So, and if I speak too quickly or say something you don't understand, just raise your hand and I'll just keep talking. I'll just ignore you. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be amongst your people this evening. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering as your church, as the body of Christ, with one another. Lord, as we look at your word this evening, I am mindful that without you, your word will fall on deaf ears. So we invite your Holy Spirit to quicken it, to make it alive. We ask that your word will accomplish the very work that you have purposed for it, that it would not return void. Lord, that you would be my mouth, that you would teach me what to say. And Lord, that the things that are said this evening would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. We started a few weeks ago in the book of Hebrews, and we heard in chapter 1, verse 1, that in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Thus, Jesus is more glorious or superior to the prophets. Therefore, and in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus became much superior to the angels. Therefore. And we heard chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Therefore. And then in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we hear, by his death, he, talking of Jesus, might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Therefore, and the last verse of chapter 2, because he himself, again, Jesus, suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore. Therefore is an important word in the Bible, and if you spend any time at all reading Scripture, you will find that it is throughout the Scriptures. Therefore. In other words, what I'm about to say is based on something I have already said for you to hear, for you to know, for you to understand. Therefore. This is the conclusion, or this is the next step in what is about to be said. And the writer of Hebrews starts this chapter with that same word, therefore. Because Jesus is superior to the angels, because he is superior to the prophets, because he has conquered death and is superior to the devil, therefore. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He starts off by saying, therefore, holy brothers and sisters. You know, the term holy is not something that is designated to a special saint, a special Christian, a special person that has accomplished a lifelong ministry of selflessness and sacrifice. No, the term holy in relation to the Christian is given to every believer, every child of God, every man or woman, child, adult that has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called holy. It means set apart, separated from amongst the rest. Now, using that terminology, we have some holy dishes at our house. We have some dishes that we have set apart that we use only in special times. For Thanksgiving, American holiday, and for Christmas. They don't come out at any other time. But they are set apart. That is what we are as followers of Christ. God has taken us and he has set us apart. He has separated us for a special purpose. One of those purposes is salvation. And the other is to make his name known as we live here in this world to the people that are around us. We have been set apart. We have been called holy, special. And he says that we have been set apart who share in this heavenly calling, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that. That's the calling that God has placed on every single one of us. It's not the job of the preacher, the pastor of a church, to proclaim the gospel. The mission, the job of sharing the gospel belongs to all of those who have been set apart by God. Not only did we have the privilege of hearing the good news that Jesus saves us from our sins, but God has set us out and separated us so that we would take that message to the people around us. And so, if you are in that category today, he is speaking to you, holy brother or sister, who share in this heavenly calling. And then he says to us, he gives us a command. He says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Spend some time focusing your mind on Jesus. Fixate on Jesus. Now, my wife will tell you that I have no problem fixating on something, though it's probably not always Jesus. When we got married, one of the things that I fixated on was books. The job that I had allowed me to I was actually a bill collector for a furniture company and took me into lower income areas where there were thrift shops or charity shops, as you call them. Though yours are smaller and more numerous, we have fewer of them and they're larger. And I would go into these thrift shops on such a regular basis that the people began to know me by my name. And I would go in and looking for books, not rare, valuable books in that regard, but Christian books. Books on how to be a father, how to be a husband, a godly father, a godly husband. Commentaries. Anything I could get on the Christian faith, whether it was books about cults, it didn't matter. And I would come in with a bag of books, each one costing 10 cents to a quarter to a dollar. And Joey would say, "There's more. Where are you going to put them?" And I had filled up a bookshelf and then another bookshelf and another bookshelf. And then I put shelving across the top of the room, filled up that shelving. Then I was filling up the closet. I had way more than I could ever read. As a matter of fact, they sit in my mom and dad's garage now. The vast majority I've never opened. I became fixated. And then I inherited my grandfather's coin collection. Really wasn't a coin collection in the sense that he collected specific coins, but in 1964 they quit making U.S. coins out of silver, and so my grandfather says, "You know, this is not a good idea," and he began taking the coins that were silver and just putting them. He would weld metal pipes together, seal them with a slot, and just put the silver coins in there, and then he hid those. When he passed away, my grandmother gave me all these coins. Me and my cousin, we were the only two boys, and so we got all these silver coins, old coins. And so I spent time reading and researching, and all of a sudden I had this coin collection, and I became fixated on it. Then I began looking for more coins and spending money we really didn't have on coins, saying it was an investment. Right, honey? And turned out silver actually has done pretty well, gold too. But and then we had kids. And now my fixation is eBay, looking for Legos. Really, it's for them. It is not for me. But you see, we become fixated on lots of things in life, don't we? It's easy for us to set our minds on things, to become fixated, to become preoccupied with them, to where they consume our thought life. Unfortunately, rarely, probably, are we really fixated on Christ, on who He is, on what He has done for us. And maybe tonight, today, Sunday is the only day really in the whole week that you've even thought about Christ, thought about God, thought about who He is and what He has done. The author tells us here to fixate, set our minds on Christ. Later in Hebrews, using the analogy that we've been talking through about the Olympics, he talks to the reader as one who is competing in a race to set your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith, the pioneer or perfecter of it, to have a singleness of vision. And really, you know, those books have no lasting value. Those coins have no lasting values. Those Legos, whatever we spend our mind and our time on, really, unless it is the Lord Jesus Christ, has no significance, no eternal value in it. Thus, the writer is saying, fixate your mind, set your mind down upon something that is of significance, something that will change and transform your life. And who is that? He says here, Jesus. Jesus is the one that He wants us to set our minds upon. And he goes on and he says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. You see, as humans, we have two great needs from which all the other things in life fall under the shadow of. The first is that we have a need to hear a word from God. We have a need for truth to be spoken into our life. Now, some people would deny that. They would say, well, there's no such thing as truth. But the other need that we have is that we have a need for a way to God. You see, when Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, from that point on, in man's heart was a desire to be able to return to that paradise. Not the garden itself, not a place where it was always green and nice and not hot and not rainy, the perfect utopia. No, what was significant about the Garden of Eden was that before sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve walked with God. They had unbroken fellowship with the eternal creator of the universe. And in us, there's this desire to have that, to have something that will give us added value and meaning and purpose to our life. We need a word from God, and we need a way back to God. And what's significant about this passage is that we see that this author says Christ is the fulfillment of both of those. First, he says this Jesus, whom we confess as our apostle. Now, the word apostle is not a foreign term for those that have been in the church for any time. The word apostle simply means a sent out one with a message, someone that is sent out. Now, in the broadest sense of the term, this could be a missionary, someone who has been sent out to make Jesus known among a particular people, a sent out one. Generally, we think of apostle as one of the 12, one of the capital A apostles, one of those ones that Jesus sent out for the task of making his name known and was a leader in the early church. But here, and nowhere else in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as our apostle, the high apostle. You see, a missionary may be sent out by the church. The 12 apostles may have been sent out by Jesus. But Christ, his apostleship was unique and superior to all those in that he was sent out by God. In chapter 1, verse 1, we looked at this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. You see, Jesus was the apostle that brought us a word from God. In John 3:17, for God did not send, there it is, that word again, send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In John 20:21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. Romans 8:3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his Son. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And you could keep going and going. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about, the scriptures show that Jesus was the one sent by God. He is the apostle. He is the one that has the word from God. As a matter of fact, in John 1:1, it says, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. So Jesus is the fulfillment of that. He is the word from God. But we also see here that he is our high priest. Now, the high priest was a very, very special person in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. The high priest was a priest among the priests. He was the one that was chosen to lead all the other priests. He had special duties that he needed to perform. And of those, probably the most noted or most significant was that on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, he was to, after purifying and cleansing himself, he was to go into, past the holies, the area, the external part where the other priests went, but to go into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, where the mercy seat of God was, the Ark of the Covenant there. He was to go into that portion of the temple with the blood of sacrifice, and he was to sprinkle it onto the mercy seat of God for the atonement of the sins of Israel. But that was a sacrifice that had to happen every single year. It was a temporal sacrifice. But Jesus, it says here, is our high priest. And if you continue reading on, which I hope you do, through the rest of the book of Hebrews, there's so much about who this high priest is. But just to pick a few, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things which are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is, not made with human hands." In other words, he didn't go into the tabernacle that Moses set up. He didn't go up to the tabernacle that Solomon set up or the one that was there when he died. No, he went into a more perfect tabernacle that was not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, get this, once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. And then later in Hebrews 10, it says, day after day, this is referring again to that high priest in the Old Testament and the one that was present during the New Testament when Jesus was alive. Day after day, every high priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, again, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, that's himself, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Holy for those that are being set apart. Once and for all. So we see here in this passage that Jesus is compared to, or is confessed as our apostle, our word from God, and he is seen here as our high priest, our way back to God. And there's no other way that that is accomplished. None. So now that we have fixed our minds on Jesus, our apostle and our high priest, the writer of Hebrews moves on to say, and he says, he begins to compare Jesus now to Moses. He's already done this with the angels. He's done this with the prophets. He's done this with death. Over and over, he's showing that Jesus is superior. So now he brings up Moses. And he says in verse 2, Moses, or Jesus, was faithful to the one who appointed him, that is God, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house. Bearing witness of what would be spoken of by God in the future, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. You see, he starts off by comparing Moses and Jesus with the same thing. He says, both are faithful. The Son is faithful as one to the one that appointed him, that's God, and Moses was faithful as the one that was over God's house. Now, something that we have to understand very clearly in this text is that that the writer of Hebrews is not trying to diminish or degrade Moses. No, this is a quote from Numbers where Moses is seen as a special, one-of-a-kind prophet of God. Listen to the words in Numbers 12. God says, "Listen to my words." We need to take note of those. When God says, "Pay attention, heed," As Graham preached the other day, pay attention. Listen to my words. And this is what he says about Moses. When there is a prophet among you,
I, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. See, here's the quote. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Again, Jehovah or Yahweh. You see, the author is not putting down Moses. He is elevating Moses to a supreme level. He is saying, "This, look at this one-of-a-kind prophet. These other prophets, I spoke to them in riddles, in dark sayings, in visions, in dreams. But with Moses, I spoke to him face to face. He stood in my presence. He heard my words." Moses is special. Moses terrified the people when he came back from talking with God because his face shone. It was radiant. And they said, "Would you veil your face? Because we're afraid." See, Moses talked face to face with God. So this is not putting Moses down. No, he is elevating Moses to a superior level. But then he says, now consider Jesus in light of this amazing servant of mine, Moses, with whom I spoke face to face, and he was in my presence. He says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor. He has super elevated Jesus now. And then he goes on to say why. And it's an amazing reason. He says, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Now think about that. What he is saying is Jesus compares to the builder and Moses to the house. The house might be great. This church building might be great. St. Paul's Cathedral might be great. But the builder is always superior than the building itself. In other words, the builder is the one that makes the building. How do you think it would be if Noah and Isaac, as they brought some Lego creation to me and said, "Oh, Daddy, look at this." And I said, "Oh, this is so great. As a matter of fact, Noah, this Lego thing that you just built is greater than you." Or greater than you, Isaac. No, that's preposterous. They are far greater than the thing that they built. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. That Jesus is the builder. Moses is the building. He is part of the house. We are part of that house. Jesus is greater because he is the one that made it. And can you imagine now? The Olympics are over. Paralympics are coming. Not to steal any thunder. Hope I don't use an illustration you've used, or which I was tempted to do several times, David. But can you imagine the decathlon athletes sitting in a locker room there with Jesus? And the javelin thrower saying, "I am the greatest athlete because did you see how I threw the javelin? None of you compare to how I could throw the javelin." And the high jumper, he says, No. You can throw the javelin, but you can't jump as high as I can jump. That's greater." And the long jumper says, No. You can throw, you can jump high, but what is that having to do? Look how far I can jump. And they go on and on, arguing who's the greatest. And then they look over at Jesus and they say, "What about you? Could he jump further? Yeah. Could he jump higher? Yeah. Could he throw further? Yes. Could he run faster? Yes. But he says, I am greater because I made you." That's the point that the author is making here. See, one is quantitative. One can be measured by me versus you versus you versus you. The other is qualitative. It's an essence. It's of a completely different essence. And Jesus is saying, Moses is created. Jesus is the creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do we find in Colossians 1:16?
For in him, and this is in reference to Christ because it's talking about Christ, for in him all things were created. All things, not some things. All things, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. In other words, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is of greater honor because he is God. Period. Why on earth then would you want to return to Moses? To the law, to that which could never save you. Brothers and sisters, why on earth would we ever want to return to things in this life that would weigh us down, that would enslave us and keep us from having a life that walks with God, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is full of joy and peace, of fellowship with this Creator, with God Almighty? Why would we pick up the weight of sin that so easily besets us? Why do we ever return to that which is far less or far more inferior? We have, as our apostle and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he compares them one more time. He says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. And by the way, all the Old Testament is, just like the high priest, just like the temple, all the things that happened in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth as we were at camp, all of those things are images and pictures, testimony of what is going to happen in the future, fulfilled in Christ. And that's what Moses was, that's what he's saying here. Moses would speak these things that would be fulfilled by God in the future. So Moses is a faithful servant in God's house, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And so he's saying, just as the builder is superior to the building, the Son is superior to the servant. Now, I don't know about you, I do one day want to hear before my God, from my God and Father, Jamie, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I am, as adopted into the family of God, an heir, a son of God, a joint heir with Christ. But there's a big difference between the son and the servant. You see, the servant, he does all the bidding of the master. He takes care of the master's house. He takes care of the master's food, of his clothes. Whatever the master says, the servant does. He belongs, in essence, to the master. The son, by inheritance, owns the house and owns the servant. And he is the one that provides for the servant, provides his needs. And so the writer of Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus because he is superior to the Old Testament prophets. He is superior to the angels. He has conquered death, so you don't need to fear that anymore. And he is superior to Moses. Fix your thoughts on Jesus because he is the maker of Moses. He is the owner of Moses. He is the Lord of Moses. He is the provider of Moses. Fix your thoughts on Jesus because if you are his child, he is your maker. He is your owner. He is your Lord and he is your provider. He is your joy. He is your comfort. He is your peace, your hope, your protection, your sustainer. You're all in all. Should we think about anything else? But then he goes on and he gives a little test. And so maybe you're in this room this evening and you say, well, I don't know if I am in that group called holy brothers and sisters. I don't know if I am one of those that has partaken in that heavenly calling. I don't know if I am one of his children in the house of God. He says in verse 6, and we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. What are you hoping in today? Where is your confidence? Is it in your career? In your investments? In your bank account? In what you have gathered around you so that you can live a good and comfortable life? A nice padded bank account, a nice house, a nice car, everything's okay. Is it in popularity and fame? You want to be known among your friends as the good guy, the cool guy, the most popular one. What are you putting your hope and your confidence in? All those other things are temporal. They have no eternal value. But is your hope and your confidence in Jesus Christ? Have you found Him to be your apostle, your high priest, your atoning sacrifice? If you have, brothers and sisters, then set your mind on Christ. If you're not already doing this, begin to develop a habit where every day you are putting things in your life, whether it's songs, whether it's scripture, whether it's memorizing verses from the Bible, whether it's listening to scriptures, whether it's listening to the Word of God or reading the Word of God, whether it's sharing with other brothers and sisters in Christ in communion around the Word of God. Are you talking and making the Word of God in your life to help you set your mind on the Word of God? If you're not, do that. Train your mind to do this. And if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you. We're going to sing a hymn in just a second. And after the hymn, we'll have a short prayer. Find someone. Find me. Find David. And we will take you to the throne of Christ. We will show you who this Christ is and how you can know Jesus as your apostle.